threw shit on my house.
Fucking old.
You shit on my house!
It is September 1988. Valerie Harper wins $1.6 million after being fired from Valerie, which then became Valerie's family, before becoming the Hogan family. A Nightmare on Elm Street 4 murders the box office. George Michael's Monkey, Sweet Child O' Mine, and Don't Worry, Be Happy are all number ones on Billboard. And Dick Clark hosts his final episode of Pyramid after 15 years. But you don't care too much about all that because you're finally back at school and things are not going well. First of all, news of your fainting spell in front of Ace Reporter, Janet Scubaroli is growing like a wildfire thanks to a videotape copy Angela is passing around school. The video is spreading like some sort of virus. Yes, you think you'd even call it a contagious video. Second of all, the Save Dennis movement is at full force in the school. Posters, donation buckets, even the teachers have mentioned it. And Dennis from fourth period history class, yes, this new year and a new schedule after all, is eating it up. He's certainly the cock of the walk. It's maddening. He's more popular than ever after being arrested and being a dick while you are the laughingstock of the school despite being wronged by Dennis and just because you couldn't make up your mind and you wore all your news clothes at once and fainted on TV. Well, you'll show them. You'll show them all. In the meantime, you're in the mood for pop culture news and views with a high level of hair content. So you pick up the latest issue and dive in. Yes, it's time to...
Listen to Sassy.
And now here are your hosts, Tara Ariano and Pamela Rubin.
Man, I loved Dick Clark on Pyramid. That show was good.
It is a fun game. But let me tell you, do not buy the home version of Pyramid. It is terrible. Mm-hmm. And the older the version, the more considered it is. And the newer ones, I swear to God, I bought a new one. And when I say bought, I picked it up for $4 at Goodwill, but it was still shrink wrap to tell you how much people enjoy it.
Yeah.
Still shrink wrap. Open it up. It is literally just a booklet of questions. There's like a big box, open it up, and there's just a book inside. That's it. There's no apparati. Mm. There's no sliding doohickeys.
No.
Same with Family Feud. Now, Family Feud, remember when you bought them when you were a kid? They had the slidey things and all that kind of shit. Now,
the posts.
Just a booklet. Boo. Bullshit. Pressman Games, you should be ashamed of yourself.
Whoa, calling him out by name. Just lost us that sponsorship. Thanks, Dave.
That's okay. We got Ripple on the back, I'm sure, any minute now. Ripple tea, Ripple pea milk. I'm having some right now, you guys. Doesn't it look delicious?
Oh, my God.
It's actually green.
Are you supposed to eat this on cereal?
Is it really green, or do you just add shit to it?
Oh, no. We lost Pam.
Oh, no. We caught her mid-swig. Don't make it come out of your nose, Pam. Don't do it. We don't want that to come out of your nose.
Mm. No, it wasn't green, but now I realize my teeth might be because I add a little chlorophyll to my smoothies. Ugh. And since you're highly invested, burned out my blender.
Whoa.
Just now, totally burned it out. Put all my shit in there, hit the thing, and it went burnt. And that was the end of that. So I had to make this one using the backup, because that's, for the record, burned out a juicer. Now I burned out a blender.
Are you in some sort of challenge of how much of a forest you can fit in your milk? Like, what the hell? You got pea milk and you're adding chlorophyll, like spirulina or something in there? Throw in some old leaves. Hey, are you going to do anything with that dead chipmunk? You give it
look at this shit! I'm half Hulk now.
Pam, you had something about your pop culture life in September 1988. Please tell us about it.
Well, absolutely everything in the showbiz news, I remember, like, it was my job to know all of this. You could not escape Don't Worry, Be Happy. I don't know how to explain it to people because there are so many ways now to hear one song over and over again. We all know Watermelon Sugar. I don't know why, but
I do. TikTok. It's the only place I've ever heard that song.
But Don't Worry, Be Happy would just like pop out of everything. You'd be like, getting a Happy Meal, and it would be like, don't worry. And you're like, how? Every bottle you would open would be like, A-boom-a-doom-a-doom. Like, it was just, and then the video never stopped. Mm-hmm. It was like the country was sponsored by this song. And the more we heard it, the less happy. I have to say, I was maybe also the first time I ever watched Backlash. Mm. You know mm-hmm. what I mean?
The greatest moment in anyone's life is when they get to tell someone, you know, he's doing all of the sounds in this track, right? There's no instruments. It's just him. The number of times you would try to just blow people's minds who somehow didn't know that is what I remember about that song as well.
We had a lot of like, did you know that's his mouth people back then? Because we had Michael Winslow and right. we had even the Micro Machines guy. Like, that was very impressive what he could do with his mouth.
Wait, Dave. Hang on. There's a class of people called.
Yeah.
Did you know he had a mouth people?
No, he. It's just his mouth. Beatboxing. We got very into, whoa, my gosh, you're doing all that with your mouth.
Oh, my God. Is that your mouth?
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Is that your mouth? They don't like it when you just put your hand right in there, as we learned from Sassy. And George Michael's Monkey, a song I still know by heart, loved it so much, didn't understand what it was about because I was, you know, a nerd. But I just was like, this is really about animal rights in a way that I was not prepared for. Do you love the monkey or do you love me? So that was a confusing song for a while.
Yeah.
But anyway, this is when I was just like, oh, yeah. No, I remember. I remember all of this. Like, why do I remember that Valerie Harper won $1.6 million over her NBC series? Why do I know that? I just do.
You read People magazine. That's probably reported it.
Oh, Entertainment Tonight.
Yes.
That was on a lot of the house.
Yeah, but. Yeah. Fast forward to 2021, NBC Valerie Harper, only one still alive. So we got the last laugh there.
Wow. Wow.
Let's get into the pop culture topics of the September 1988 issue, because this one is surprisingly rich. The last one, I think, only had one feature, if you could even call it that, with the right around of Lou Diamond Phillips' publicist giving that interview, clearly. But this one's pretty packed. So let's start with what now. First up, our pop culture items. Who has fake hair is the headline. It's a list basically just calling out people who have hair extensions, including... They make it clear Taylor Dayne, who did not want it known that that was not all her real hair. And then Christina is quite rude about it, saying how ugly it is. But it's just funny to me that this was a story then, because every famous person has hair extensions all the time, or I assume that they do.
Yeah. Well, it's because they all have the same hairstyle, too. And you're just like, oh, it took me a while to know that. It's like everybody has such good hair. I would like to know. Like, at this point, I feel like it's hair and makeup, clothes, shoes, but also, where did you buy that hair? Right. If we could just talk about it this way, then I can be like, oh, because I have to get all my hair on Amazon because I don't really know. My friend's got a wig shop. No, she doesn't have a wig shop. She goes to a wig shop. I'm not going to out her because, again, right? Hair has, hair is our secrets, but there's a place where you can go. And apparently, like the place that'll measure your boobs and give you a good bra. I feel like I should start the whole episode over.
I don't know what's going on. I'm already lost and I'm here, you know, one of the hosts, and I don't know what's going on.
I know what she's talking about. There's like, you can get cheap.
There's this wig shop.
Or you can get
where
custom
you meet
ones.
Friends and everybody goes there to get their hair because they're all secretly bald. And they sit there in the waiting room waiting for the guy who wears bras to come and give them wigs. Mm. They're all drinking their nipple milk full of green forest things. And that's how Hollywood works. The end.
Mm. I blew out a blender. I'm upset. I'm seeing stars. The wig place is religious cultural.
Right.
So I don't know that I can just wander in there and be like, hey, guys. Right. So that's why I have not gone.
So one of those high-end wig places where they offer you a mimosa before you actually get down to shopping?
I'm sure they do, because it ain't cheap. Mm-hmm. Which is what I do. I go to Amazon and find pretty cheap versions of this hair, because I really use it for when I'm, you know, being photographed or far away, sure. Up close. One time someone was, saw me in a restaurant. I'll stop.
It's the
this
same
it.
Way you can buy the expensive shop. It's just super, super duper flammable. That's all. Same thing otherwise.
It's so flammable.
Don't go out in the sun.
I've done it around you too, where you guys were like, yeah. And I forget that people can tell because there's a couple of them that I have where people can't. And they're always like, what is going on with you? Did you get taller? Did you do this? Whatever. I'm like, it's the ponytail. But there is one that's just too long. And whenever I wear it and someone says, I like your hair. And I say, it's an attachment or a piece or whatever. And this one girl was like, yeah, I know. I was like, oh, I'm not fooling anyone at this fancy restaurant. So I
she threw that extension out the window and watched it burst into flames.
I did. I put it in my blender and I think I have figured some things out. We still have hangups about hair, obviously, sure. As I'm like panic attacking, just trying to talk about it. This is so mean, a clip, huh? But this is so mean, just shitting on people, assuming pretty hair must be fake. This is a very hair angry issue, as
it is.
Dave brought up already. I don't get all the hair hate.
Speaking of being troublesome about hair, we have some outtakes from a feature we'll be talking about later in this episode called Celebrity Styles and Slip-Ups. Two photos, one of Justine Bateman being very overdone and, by the way, acting like any of this was probably her choice. Like, you are at a magazine. You know this is not how photo shoots work. Like, you show up and they do something crazy to you, A. But B, the other one is a shot of Lisa Bonet where she's, like, laughing, looks adorable, like, has one arm on her shoulder. And they call her Lisa Hairy Arms Bonet. And when I came to this page in the issue, I didn't realize until I saw it again how formative this item about Lisa Bonet's arm hair was, because I was a hairy teen and still am a hairy adult. Newsflash, I am a mammal. And I also have hairy arms. And I never thought that I should be self-conscious about them until this. So thanks, Sassy.
Yeah, I remember shaving my arm hair. I'm sure this had something to do with it. And what, Dave?
Nothing to do about the hair. I just like the idea that the author thought that maybe in some universe, Lisa Bonet's nickname was Hairy Arms. Like, that's what all her friends call her. Hey, you got to come over tonight to watch TV, Hairy Arms.
She's also got a full mouth of braces in this picture that seem like it's almost like Tina Fey's bossy pant. Like, Lisa Bonet is trapped behind some things that they've put on her for a TV guide cover. It doesn't look like her.
Yeah.
Doesn't look like her because she's smiling or laughing. She doesn't usually do that in photos.
That's true. But it's clearly like from several years ago when Denise still had braces. Next up, little thing about Matthew Broderick, what he's been doing. He's in Torch Song Trilogy, which is coming out that's December, having played the same role in the off-Broadway version. And next spring, he'll be opposite Molly Ringwald in Oil and Vinegar, yet another John Hughes classic in mean air quotes. Like, oh, really? Like, we're acting like we don't like, we're too cool for John Hughes movies? Okay. But when I saw that, I thought, I've never heard of any movie where these two were in it. And sure enough, it never came out. It was written by John Hughes and was supposed to have been directed by Howard Deutsch, who also directed Some Kind of Wonderful. But the concept was, it's just like the two of them road tripping and having conversations. So like the cold open of When Harry Met Sally, but a whole movie, I guess, which I would watch.
I tried to find the script. I want to find it. If you know how we can read Oil and Vinegar, please call into the hotline. I would like to read it. It did lead me. Oh, go ahead, Dave. Sorry.
Before we get off Oil and Vinegar, I just want to say nothing to do with movies or scripts. But if you're at a salad bar, say like Soup Plantation.
Yeah.
Where you can meet Weird Al on occasion. Mm-hmm. And you find somebody using just oil and vinegar at a salad bar, they are not to be trusted. I don't trust anybody that doesn't take advantage of the full court dressings and then opts for oil and vinegar or just oil or just vinegar. Do not trust them. Do not believe their lies. They are memento.
Anyway, searching for oil and vinegar and led me to find an interview with Howard Deutsch called Am I Going to Have to Reshoot Half of This Movie? That's actually pretty interesting about some kind of wonderful and John Hughes's process. But that at one time he brought him some rewrites for 5 pages of some kind of wonderful. And he was like, what is this? This isn't looking like what I asked for. And it was 50 pages of a new thing. He was like, I just want to know if you think this is any good. That's what I wrote last night. And it was half of Ferris Bueller's Day Off. And then he wrote the other half the next day. Wow. But he apparently loved it quite a bit. It was supposed to be in the Breakfast Club's tone.
Hmm. Too bad.
So it's probably like Before Sunrise.
Yeah.
Is what I'm guessing. Yeah. I would have liked that.
Alas, 'twas not to be.
Then we have an article about Jason Patrick, who was originally approached for a role in Dangerous Liaisons that went to Keanu Reeves. Jason apparently turned the part down because it was too small. And I just want to say thank you, Jason Patrick. It's the nicest thing you've ever done.
Poor kid. We also have one headlined, Peter Has Lousy Taste. And I'll just read it in full because it's short. Did you know that Gina Nemo, the girl who plays Peter DeLuise's loud, obnoxious girlfriend Dorothy on 21 Jump Street, is his fiance in real life? Yes, we did. This came up in a previous episode. It was also in What Now? Prior to this. I guess Peter was pining away for Gina so desperately that they had to create a role for her in the middle of the season. But I want to know, is she really like that? And if so, why is he marrying her? And so we have to turn to our resident 21 Jump Street expert, Pam. Was this character annoying or is this just more random girl on girl crime?
Well, both. I mean, she was annoying. She was like, the character was written as, you know, like, oh my God, you know, like, uh-huh. Like sort of a Fran Jeschery. But I didn't even really remember that. I had to go searching and be like, oh, right. Yeah, it is his wife and they were living long distance. And so this is all very true. They were together before the show. Mm-hmm. Gina these days runs an acting studio. She does voice work. She directs films. She does speak highly of this time from 21 Jump Street, and she was an award-winning character. And so I was like, an award-winning character on 21 Jump Street. And I looked it up, and she did, in fact, win a Vancouver's Viewer's Choice Best and Brightest for just being a Jump Street person. It looks like, I mean, in the picture I found, Holly Robinson, that mm-hmm. not Pete then, is holding one of these things as well. So wow. They're just some Vancouver gals.
That's adorable.
It's adorable. If you click the picture, Gina looks like just like someone you knew exactly that year. And you were like, I don't mess with Gina. Like that's so I'm being hesitant to answer. They don't need to be this mean about, I don't know why they're always so mean to girls who are dating or married to or marrying a crush boy. But in this case, this is the long answer.
But also, is he even a crush boy? Like this seems like going out of your way just to be mad at someone about something.
Well, I mean, he was my, well, I did, as someone who wrote him a fan letter, again, Peter, any day, just right back. Know that it's on your to-dos and you've been busy.
Mm-hmm. All right. Speaking of crush objects, who hasn't Rob Lowe kissed is the headline, and they just start with a rumor that he was making out with Patti Sciarfa from the E Street Band backstage at a show. But then just go ahead and list a bunch of famous women he's been romantically linked with, including Princess Stephanie of Monaco, Nastasia Kinski, Melissa Gilbert, Marley Matlin, Fawn Hall. There are certainly others. And I just want to say, as someone who primarily knows him now and from his character on 911 Lone Star, a wonderful show, I miss his slutty face. This is a good time in culture, I feel. That's all.
Rob Lowe has not kissed me, but I did do one piece with him. No one's ever seen it, really. I was gonna do a piece for the Ellen show mm-hmm. where I got to interview whoever they had backstage for. I was just gonna pretend I was on my first date with them, but I had mm-hmm. to do a test of that, and so I went the day that they had Rob Lowe ready, and so I recorded my first date with Rob Lowe. This was going to be a really fun thing. It just didn't end up going anywhere after this. And so I'll give you the link to it. And you can see that it's still in the green screen. I never got the Aww. Final version. I know it's a bummer. The final version is just like, I could probably do it now, I suppose, if I thought about it. But there's just a backdrop of, you know, a restaurant behind me. But Rob was great. And when I had to describe what I was doing, because, you know, we we shot differently. And the whole thing was really every actor, I just needed them to say, check, please. That was it. I just, that was it. And for Rob Lowe, I was like, you know, it'll be like you're on an awkward date because it's me. And he was like, well, but you're attractive. You're like, yeah, I feel like you'd have a good date. And I was like, you don't have to do any of that. Like, I'm just, it's very nice of you.
What a gentleman.
Yeah. He put a little effort into it, which I appreciated. But then he was like, I do understand what you mean. And so then you will see that is a guy who gave real good camera from a one-line description of what if you were on a date with me and I was shitty at it.
The original cover to Poison's album Open Up and Say Ah was recalled, and got a little thing about that featuring the original album cover and the post recall album cover so they can sell their shit at Walmart, etc. Mm-hmm. And I just want to say the early one, which is like supposed to be like a tiger lady with her like 8-inch tongue sticking out, was too sexy or too satanic or something for the powers that be. But really, when you look at it, that's Ron Perlman from Beauty and the Beast TV show. So I don't know why they got recalled in the first place.
You're right.
Yeah.
You're right. And just a copy editing note, they call it Walmart's, like Macy's, which is not correct.
Now moving on to our non-pulp culture items. I was assigned this one. It is the top of the first page. It is titled Bogus Blondes. Mm-hmm. And I can't imagine why they gave me this one. Almost half the females in this country are blondes, but only 1/3 were born that way. The other 2/3 are hitting the dye bottles, of course. So it won't surprise you to learn that half of all females who dye their hair are coloring it blonde. And that's why we can't have nice things in America.
I assigned it to you. I just figured, you know, you would want to continue your campaign against blondes.
Oh, God. Blonde, blonde, blonde.
Then there's an item headline, condoms that roll over, sit up, and play dead. It's like a little, you know, jokey Spencer's Gifts type product where it's like a little robot condom, I guess. And they
I don't understand. I truly don't understand what they're describing here.
I mean, I figure it's like, you remember those like those pots with the dancing flowers? You know what okay. I'm talking about? Where they would like dance yeah. to the radio? I figure yeah. it's like that, but it's condoms.
The condoms dance or the flowers holding 12 condoms like a bouquet? I'm genuinely, is it an edible arrangement of condoms?
I don't know.
Yeah. Or is it a chia pet, but like the pet rock?
Pam, I'm fully guessing. But she writes, they come, not a pun. There was just no other way to say it. There definitely was. They are sold 3 or 12 to a package. You didn't have to do it. You just wanted to. Just own it.
They're not that hard to find. Mm-hmm. Roll up to your local 7-Eleven.
And finally, abortion rates. This is really scary, Christina writes. Did you know that 300 American females, there will be 76 abortions because some will have more than one. In Canada, the rate is half that. And in the U.S., almost 1 in every 10 teenage girls gets pregnant. That's nearly twice as high as in any other developed country where sex education is taught in schools and you can easily get birth control. Just want to note a couple of things about this. Sex education taught in schools, sure, depends where you are, how good it's going to be. And you can easily get birth control. Really depends on your circumstances and where you are. And finally, framing the stat as scary only serves the anti-choice agenda. Abortions are healthcare. Don't shame readers about them. If you need an abortion, it's fine. You don't need to have a reason except you want one. That's me on my soapbox. Watch It Is movie reviews. And this month, we're starting out with A Summer Story, which is a hit. This is somehow a movie I've never heard of, even though It is extremely my shit. It's like a British period piece about a poor farm girl falling in love with a rich lord or whatever the hell. And you can find it on Tubi, and we'll link it in the show notes. It's also on YouTube. But Christina might have liked it better if it had John Hughes as a director, she says, whom she just slagged off in What Now? When she was all like, another John Hughes classic with air quotes, which, like, make up your mind. Decide how you feel about John Hughes. But anyway, I might check out this movie. It sounds pretty good.
I watched a little bit of the beginning, and I was like, oh, no. I had to jump out. You know, one of those scenes where it's like, and then horses run across a field, and that's how we pass time. And then, not to spoil too much of the first 2 minutes, but the young character is an old character, and he kind of hobbles on with bad makeup and stares at a gate and says to us, I don't know what I was looking for when I came back to this spot, and then, like, stares out. And time jumps, and then his best friend talks about fucking some chick. So, all I'm saying is, it's not my thing.
Okay.
In a Bridgerton sort of way, it's not my thing. Next, we have Big Business, which got 4 stars here on Watch It. And it was one of those movies that I just assumed I'd seen until I really found out that it was not Outrageous Fortune or All of Me or any of the other films that were big around now. But mm-hmm. Big Business stars Lily Tomlin and Bette Midler. They play twin sisters. Wait for it. Because there was a switch up at the hospital. This is in the credits. I'm not ruining anything. The opening scene. There were 2 sets of twins born, but then the babies got switched a bit. And so there were 2 sets of switched twins that went on about the world and became Lily Tomlin and Bette Midler in 2 different versions. And then they happen to meet each other. And it is one of the funniest scenes of all time.
Yeah.
It's a really good movie. It is a good movie.
It's on Disney Plus. We'll link it in the show notes. But I mean, I've certainly in quarantine been catching up on a lot of those movies that I thought I'd seen and I hadn't seen. Moon Over Parador was another one that came out like this month, September 88, which is probably in that category. But like Soap Dish, Beautician and the Beast, House Sitter, where has the mid-budget dumb comedy gone? I mean, I know we got Girls Trip, and Girls Trip is incredible, obviously. But like, I don't mean something that has to have that shock value, like something that's just a perfectly nice PG-13 silly movie. In the Big Business vein. Bring them back. People like them. Next, Poltergeist 3. This is reviewed badly by Neil, who is just once again like, it's bad, and doesn't really explain why. Stop letting Neil write reviews is my plea to the sassy of 30 plus years ago, because he's bad at it.
Yeah, this is really terrible. Like, it's absolute nothing of anything. It's not a review. It doesn't tell you what it's about.
Yeah.
At like zero.
And even he writes, it sucked, except for the guy from the Guess Jeans ad, Tom Skerritt. He was good, but that's all. Okay, it had some good effect. It's like, how about write a draft and then edit it yourself before you turn it in? Like, it's just so half-assed. I am insulted.
And they, I guess, made him do 2 stars so that they didn't have 3 bombs in one watch it.
Right.
Made me not even remember what happens in Poltergeist 3.
Mm-hmm.
But it did make me remember the curse, the Poltergeist curse, which is, you know, real.
One of the 2 1-star reviews is for The Presidio, and I understand this is a negative review by Vicky, but this is exactly the kind of middlebrow 80s, 90s action thriller Dave and I enjoy, and I currently have our DVR set to record this one on Cinemax, like, this week. This sounds fine to me.
Yeah, I'm sure my mom's watching it right now, very loud. If you listen, you'll be able to hear my mom down the street trying to remember if Mark Harmon was the guy in Summer School.
Summer School, another very enjoyable dumb movie.
Wonderful, yes. It Couldn't Happen Here is the other bomb and the last thing here on Watch It, which I don't remember, but I guess the Pet Shop Boys did their own, like, and we're fun and making a movie that doesn't make sense for people who do drugs kind of movie, which was the style at the time. And it says it was one long excuse for the band to break into Pet Shop Boys songs, not unlike a 90-minute music video I enjoyed. It was all so she could make a joke about what have I done to deserve this being what was playing through her head by the time they got to that part in the song.
At least I appreciate the artfulness of putting that in there, because this sure. is a considered bomb review, not just one who's like, it was bad. Bleh.
Yes, exactly. And really, the only reason I'm mentioning it is because recently I was listening to West End Girls with our newest, biggest fan of Listen to Sassy, my cousin Marcy. Woo. I hadn't listened to West End Girls in a while, and so I just didn't even realize it was playing in the background. But when it was like, who, why, when, what, where did you get it? What is it for? Is it hot? Is it soft? I was like, dang, what is with the interrogation? And then we could not stop making the West End Girls interrogation scene of like, how did you get it? How do you like it? Is it hot? Is it soft? What? And you're just like, ah. And then, so the Pet Shop Boys as good cop, bad cop is a fun thing to do. To this song. Hi, Marcy. I love you.
Let's move on to album reviews. Our first review, it is a hit. Crowded House, Temple of Lomen, their second album. I will just briefly say, I'm sure I'd heard Something So Strong and Don't Dream It's Over from their first album, but I didn't own it. And this got me into the band. It's such a good album. After I read this review again, I went back and like listened to the whole thing through. It's got a lot of secretly great ones that I think are less known. And Dave loves Crowded House too. So go ahead, Dave.
Crowded House albums got increasingly better, and they started very strong with the first one, like up to the fourth album, which is like, you know, not quite as commercial, but very good in its own right. And then after that, forget about it.
Yeah.
I saw them live once at Canada's Wonderland.
Wow.
With opening group Chalk Circle. Uh-huh. Canada's own Chalk Circle.
Sure. I see that.
This was like just before they really hit big. Don't Dream It's Over, like just came out. They were like, for whatever reason, starting their tour in Ontario or somewhere very nearby. So we got front row tickets. The only time I've ever had front row tickets to like anything. And I still remember Neil had, remember the first album, they all had like those crazy blazers with all the writing and like weird drawings on them and stuff like that. Yeah, he was wearing that one. So it was kind of cool. Yeah.
Just want to add before we move on, New Zealand, where they are from, undefeated pop culture wise. Every piece of New Zealand pop culture that makes it here is good. Taskmaster New Zealand, What We Do in the Shadows, Wellington Paranormal, Rose Matafeo, New Zealand, undefeated. Thank you for everything you bring us, you tiny, tiny country.
MC's tougher, this is going to be hard. I already know it. Run DMC's tougher than leather.
Wait, yes. Before we move on, now let's see if Dave can say it.
Run DMC's tougher than leather.
Oh!
Ooh, Casey Kasem's jealous.
Moving up the charts this week, it's Run DMC's tougher than leather. Moving up five spots.
Amazing.
Nice. And Sassy agrees it's five stars over here on this review. Mike says he was skeptical about this record because how can they be this good? And yet they are. You know from this album, Mary Mary, which is amazing.
Yep.
I mean, I just turned it on this morning and could not stop dancing. But also, personally, one point, my friend and I, Tamara, we were writing these journals back and forth and boys would read them. So we had to like give everybody fake names. So she was Danielle and I was Mary. And so then you had the person that you liked, but you couldn't say his name because he was going to read it. So you call them The Thought. And anyway, learned that they had figured that whole thing out at a junior high dance when the boys requested Mary Mary. And while it played, all the boys danced up on me. All the Bucci Tag boys were like, Mary Mary, why you bugging? And so this is one of my songs.
Okay.
Of both triumph and humiliation at the same time.
I mean, that is the teenage experience. Just to note, this is Mike Flaherty's first byline. So good for him.
I don't have much to say about Brian Setzer either, but Brian Setzer would like you to know He's got a new album coming out because he's never going to stop. This is a review of two-star review of live nude guitars. Brian Setzer going down the charts with live nude guitars. No, doesn't help to do it in the voice.
No.
It does seem like it's fun to be Brian Setzer.
Wow.
No, it does seem like it's fun to be Brian Setzer.
For the purposes now on, he will be known as Brian Seltzer. Let's just go with that, okay?
Brian Seltzer soda explosion. Mm-hmm. It does seem like it's fun to be him.
Yeah.
Doesn't he like...
No, it sounds like it's tiring to be him. It's tiring to watch him anyways, because he's like, you know, those Japanese rockabilly guys you always see like every 5 years, there's some article on the persistence of rockabilly culture in Japan. And there's always the photos of the guys with the giant hair. Like, I feel like he's basically that. He's like, it'll never die. It's like, dude, it died 40, 50 years ago. It's over. Forget. No! Brian Seltzer will bubble up once again. Rockabilly forever.
It's like that Andy Daly character on Comedy Bang Bang who's really into Sha-na-na.
Yes.
Hot dog. Uh-huh. same idea.
Same vibe. Yeah.
I was very into Sha-na-na, so maybe that's why I like Brian Setzer. Because I was a Bowser fan.
Wow.
Sure.
Boy, that might be the oldest I can make myself, is that sentence.
Peter DeLuise.
Bowser.
Getting a picture.
You know what I said last night? That Mark Wahlberg, he's good looking. So I do. I have.
Is he?
Mark Wahlberg aged 15 years in the past 3 years. Like, he is.
We all did, Dave.
Well, okay. Didn't have to tell it like it is, Pam.
No, I mean, you look great. Just me. I saw.
No, that's fine. I get it.
No.
Yeah,
you know what?
I've gone white. I'm losing my hair.
It's my least favorite hair color.
My hips hurt. Got some kind of rash from peeing in the bushes.
Well, that serves you right.
If anybody knows where I've got some kind of rash from peeing in the bushes is from, kudos to you, because I pull out that reference once every 6 months and it's been sticking in my head ever since I've seen a movie.
Mm-hmm.
What's that movie? 720 Sassy Go, win a big prize.
Paula Abdul's Forever Your Girl got 1 star here on Sassy.
Yeah, I don't disagree with this negative review, but all of these pop songs live on, and I am not mad about them. They are still good, well-constructed pop song work. Like, she is not a good singer, but she had good people handling her, because you can't get mad at Straight Up. Sorry.
No, there's so many lines in here. She makes the bed and he steals the covers. You just never...
Yeah.
Just... Lyrics you're never going to forget. I don't care how dumb they are. All the world's a candy store. He's been trick-or-treating. Like, these are the things.
Yeah. When I read this, I was like, well, surely Straight Up must be on a different album. But no, this album was like, it was Straight Up, Forever Your Girl, Opposites Attract, Cold Hearted Snake. It was a hit maker. So don't hate, Sassy.
Well, and she says, this would be great if it was a bunch of songs for Jim and the Holograms.
Right.
But this ain't animation. And I was like, hang on. There's a video for you, Jacinta.
Yep.
In a major playlist, as always, there's a link in the show notes to it if you would like to take a little step back to a lot of Paula Abdul. Next, we have one to watch, Jonathan Ward, who I think I remember Jonathan Ward.
When I turned to this page, I was like, they have to stop serving up these softballs to Dave, because he's definitely not one to watch. Like, after this, he went on to be in Steel Magnolias. He's the younger brother of Julia Roberts in that movie, but that's like kind of it.
Yeah, I do remember The New Adventures of Beans Baxter, but only from looking up The New Adventures of Beans Baxter. And I think my little sister watched it or something. Mm-hmm. I very much remember it.
Yeah, this is the kind of show that would be very... It would be very Starlog Jam if it had come out like a few years before that. It sounds like it's in the Misfits of Science in that lane. He's a kid whose family just moves to a new state, and he sees his dad, who he thinks is a postal worker, get assassinated, and then finds out his dad was a secret agent, and then he gets recruited as a teen spy himself, and then it turns out his dad wasn't really dead.
Did you see episode 5's title? Bean and Satanic Backwards Masking Conspiracy.
Yes!
Intriguing.
Yeah.
Bean investigates whether messages on records played backwards have a part in changes in the behavior of the son of the network's number one or director. Wow. Mm-hmm. Mm. Beans in ski heck.
Well, that makes sense because of Savage Steve Holland being involved. Of course, there's going to be skiing before long.
Bean's unpleasant introduction to modern science. A nightmare on Bean Street. All right.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
I didn't know that I knew Savage Steve Holland as an influential human in my life until I looked him up because I was like, is that a wrestler? And then I was like, oh, he's just a guy that's gone by the word Savage since he was nine and like kicked some kid's teeth out in a soccer game.
Sure.
Anyway, he got to start animating whammies. He made up the whammy on Price Your Luck. And then he was a director on Saturday Night Live. And then he did Better Off Dead. And what up, Savage Steve Holland? Thanks mm-hmm. for all the important, influential things in my life.
Yeah, seriously.
Our first feature, Kevin Dillon Likes to Garden, has a fun title. Kevin Dillon Likes to Garden. Mm-hmm. I really appreciate it. She was basically just like sizing him up for boyfriend material the entire time, trying to figure out how much they had in common until he has a girlfriend. Burr, burr, burr. And then she's like, whatever. Okay. I liked him for a day. Kevin Dillon. I love Kevin Dillon. I like Matt Dillon, as you know. And Kevin Dillon is just look how cute he is in this picture. He's so sweet. I loved him on Entourage and I like him in this article as well.
Wow.
What? You don't like Kevin Dillon?
Nope.
Oh. You didn't like him in Entourage?
What are you asking? What? Are you serious? Pam, I never watched what? Entourage.
You never watched Entourage?
Of course not.
You watched, I don't expect any television that you didn't watch. In fact, anytime I'm watching TV and I go, oh, I got to tell, I don't do it anymore. I assume you have seen all of it, Clockwork Orange style, if you have to. You didn't watch Entourage?
Of course not.
Wow.
No, the last thing we saw him in, though, was the remake of Poseidon, where he's like a jackass professional poker player. So as soon as shit goes down, they're like, well, he's the first to die. And spoiler, he is. Pam's notes are like, he's so cute. Like, where? I don't see it.
Oh, my God. Look at his little eyes and his little scuff. Looking up at, oh, look how they put like dirt on his finger.
I mean, that's a cute touch, but this is 100 way. All of this is for you. It's not even more
exactly,
for you.
He looks exactly like Elliot Page in this picture. And you know, he is cute. He was in Platoon. He played Bunny. This is the day where I realized, like, I thirst watched Platoon. just looking around Carnage. How many Vietnam films did I do that to? Just be like, I just want to see the cute boy in the
Casualties
back.
Casualties of War, probably also
absolutely.
In that category.
Absolutely. Yes. Casualties of War for sure. Mm-hmm. Oh, God. They just kept putting cute people in things. And
I
then...
mean, Full Metal Jacket? Were you into Matthew Modine? Oh, Pam.
Yes. I liked Birdie. I loved Matthew Modine. Is that a you, Modine? That was a deep cut for three people. Anyway, at one point in here, she tries to talk about how they went to the same high school. And then he's like, you have a really shitty football team or something. And she was like, it's the end of that. But I was like, no, he was flirting, right? Yeah. I guess you didn't read it. With the same
no, I thought he
smiled as I did.
He seems fine. I don't know. Mentioning his high school by its full name is weird. And it's also in his Wikipedia. Like, is it famous or something? Like, who cares? It's Mamaroneck, if anyone does.
It was important to them.
I guess. Yes. Yeah.
Anyway. They talk about his upcoming things in the Blob remake and that he plays a son who's part Indian and lives on a reservation and lives on a reservation in the upcoming War Party, which was a poster that I had on my wall for a very, very long time. War Party starred Billy Worth and Kevin Dillon. I don't assume that's a film people go back and watch, but I did have the poster because at video stores, they would just roll up the posters when they were done with them and stick them in a box and you could take them. And I thought that Billy Worth and Kevin Dillon were cute, so they were on my wall for a long time. I probably did tape this movie. Mm-hmm. What's Kevin Dillon up to now, Tara?
I don't know. I'm sure that HBO is going to do an Entourage reboot at some point soon, but Doug Allen, who created it, is like a big cancel culture guy, so I will continue to not be watching it when that happens.
Fine. No. I guess I won't either. He's in Greece, you guys. That's where he is. Not the remake, the country. I would watch Kevin Dillon in Greece. Okay, anyway, moving on. Feature two is Amanda Peterson Hates Cheerleaders. I remember Amanda Peterson because Can't Buy Me Love is a film I watched many, 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 many times.
Yes, of course. I watched that movie many times.
And I remember her in Annie, like the second you read that she was one of the orphans. When you go back and watch it, you're like, that's her. Like, it looks just like her, but also she just seems, she stands out from all the other orphans as like, she's just drop dead gorgeous. She's like, what is that?
Yeah.
Gorgeous orphan. Yes.
Mm-hmm. They mention a movie Mismatch that she's about to be in with Kirk Cameron and Jamie Gertz. It was and eventually released the next year as Listen to Me. She's really straining a lot in this article to be like, I'm not like the other teenage girls, which is the most teenage girl thing you can do. So it's like, as you read it, it's very off-putting. But at the same time, it's off-putting because at least I recognized that tendency in myself. So I give her a pass.
But I also wonder if she didn't look like that, they would have handled the entire article differently. Because if Winona Ryder had said all of these things, or even if it was Alyssa Milano or any brunette, just any brunette. Mm-hmm. Or perhaps a nice ginger for Dave. But I feel like in this case, because she's gorgeous and blonde, they're just like, oh, she doesn't want to be a cheerleader, boo-hoo.
Yeah.
I did appreciate that they also were like curvy blonde in the copy and the way they laid it out. Because A, it's a little unconventional, but B, it's as pretty as she is.
Mm-hmm. Sadly, we must report she died in 2015 of an accidental morphine overdose after having a hysterectomy. And she had addiction issues later in life, although her mother reportedly said she was sober at the time of her death.
Back when she was living, she lived with her mom in Santa Monica, a part of LA where hippies sleep on the beach. Those are not hippies. And everyone walks around barefoot year round. Also, no, but except for maybe the hippies do. I don't know. Author had never been in Santa Monica.
Yeah, that sounds like Venice, if anything.
I don't think anybody's going around barefoot in Venice either, Tara. Nobody goes around barefoot year-round anywhere.
Yeah, let's not get into the barefoot is legal community, because that's a whole rabbit hole no one needs to get into.
I don't need it.
Finally, the feature that we teased earlier when we were talking about what now, this is beauty styles and slip-ups of the rich and famous. So the concept here is times celebrities looked good and other times they looked bad. And some of them are photo shoot shots, which again, you don't control what you're wearing in those normally. And some of them are pap shots where maybe you get lucky and maybe you don't. And the whole concept of this, I think, is to make you not worry so much about comparing yourself to celebrities because they look bad sometimes too, but it's basically a very thinly veiled framing for like, let's be catty about some stars we don't like.
Oh yeah, this is just digs at like least dressed, best, worst hair, worst this, ew.
Yeah.
It's treated like these women tried to look this way on purpose and got it wrong. Mm-hmm. Yeah, the whole thing was sort of mean-spirited. And so at one point I was like, do I even want to talk about? Like, I just feel like you're coming to the defense of the actress or performer with each piece of copy. It's so mean.
Like, they lead off with Tiffany and it's like, she's using such heavy eye makeup. It's like, that's what people did. Like, it's not her fault. She doesn't know the different trends are coming. Like, she's busy. She's doing what has worked.
Well, and she's not even doing it. Even if she looked in the mirror and said, I feel like this might have been a little heavy. They're like, I know, it's because we're using this lens and don't worry about it. And they did even admit they were like scrolling intentionally looking for shitty pics to throw in here.
Right, right.
In your notes, Tara, it's very clear that you were like, some of this stuff stuck with me and some of this stuff stuck with me too, where I am still worried about clumpy eyelashes.
Yeah,
I probably have them right now because I don't seem to ever be able to get off like mascara that I put on. Like 3 years ago, I'm still trying to take it off a little bit, just a little bit every day. I think one time I did one of those puts tubes on your eyelashes and it's never been the same.
You can read this yourself. We'll put the full pages in the show notes. I don't think we need to like litigate every single one of these, but I think across the board, we probably don't agree with the meaner stuff they're saying. ending on Sinead O'Connor and saying she looks good is a nice touch. I think the effort is there to, like, try to not look shallow. But it's, yeah, this is not an article that has aged well, I would say. Next time, fashion, etc. Get editorial spreads on outdoorsy looks and some really tall pants. There's also sock inspiration, a totally demented making it about turning perfectly good jeans into insane-looking jodhpurs, and much, much more. For my plug this week, in the Sassy era, Joshua Jackson was just one of the kids from the Mighty Ducks franchise waiting to be a millennial teen idol in Dawson's Creek. Now, he is the star of Peacock's Dr. Death, and I interviewed him about it for Vanity Fair, which you can find in the show notes.
You can follow me on Instagram at David T. Cole. You can follow Tara Twitter or Instagram at Tara Ariano. Pam's on Twitter and Instagram at Pamela Ribbon. And of course, you can follow the show at Listen to Sassy. Please rate and review us. We're now asking for 9 stars on the podcast app of your choice. And please, if you know anybody who you think may enjoy this sassy related content, please let them know.
Yes.
Yeah. We'd also love to hear from you. Our hotline is 720 Sassy Go. You can leave us a voicemail about this show or the magazine, and we can play it on a future episode. You can find out more information about this podcast, visual aids for all of our episodes, and contact info for us at our website, listentosassy.com. Thank you so much for listening, and we'll see you next time.
Entourage!
Tara's favorite. Anyway, you might be friends with a highly sensitive person.
Sorry to know but you, but I don't have that relationship with music. It's just...
You don't have, what do you, when you listen to music, do you ever use it for mood?
Not really. It's just to fill time, silence, so I don't have to be alone with my own thoughts.
That's what music means.